Next on BYUSN, the Cougars dance on as BYU beats VCU and advance to the second round of the NCAA tournament. How did head coach Kevin Young and his guys get it done? Plus, what has our attention in the second round matchup with BYU and the three seed Wisconsin? Is it Sweet 16 or bust for the Cougars at this point?
We'll hear from Yegor Demin, Trevin Nell, and the Wit Mag as they break down BYU's win against VCU and preview the game against the Badgers. And Jacob Robinson details his incredible performance at Big 12 Football Pro Days and Darius Lassiter on if he's returning to BYU this season or going pro.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. We are live once again from the Star, the headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys practice facilities in Frisco, Texas. I am Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan is live from Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado, as BYU fans continue to celebrate yesterday's momentous win in March Madness and advance on in the bracket. Holy cow. Euphoria in Denver, maybe, Jerem?
It was unbelievable, man. BYU's first win in the tourney straight up since 2012, in the first round since 2011, where in this gym, BYU advanced against Wofford to play Gonzaga in the second round. It was awesome, man. Cougar Nation was incredible there. I love the BYU Cougars chant. That was someone tweeted from a VCU fan behind them. Man, that's intimidating. Cougar Nation showed up. It's going to be awesome. Good battle, but matchup with Wisconsin. Feeling great about my Sweet 16 confidence still. And we're going to hear plenty of interviews, plus your conversations with guys from Big 12 Football Pro Days. Jacob Robinson went off yesterday. What a great day for BYU fans.
You know, in Jacob's words yesterday, he said, you can't teach speed. But maybe you can teach him speed because he showed up and impressed. Much more on that, as you mentioned, later. Let's get to it. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
It's a lot of firsts for a lot of guys in here.
We're not ready to end the season that early.
It definitely means a lot. You know, it's a big win, but embrace it, but we got to move on. You know, we have a lot of winning to do.
Anybody in this tournament is a challenge, and this is how we're going to face it.
You can dance if you want to, and BYU clearly wants to keep on dancing, Jerem. The 6th seed beats the 11th seed 80-71 in front of a pro BYU crowd at Ball Arena to advance to the second round of the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2011. Hard to believe it's been 14 years. No wonder the feelings and vibes were so good yesterday. So much frustration pushed aside as BYU pushes their way through this tournament. Head coach Kevin Young was asked, not surprisingly, after the game, how his team was able to beat VCU.
They made it tough on us. Wouldn't go away, obviously, at the end, but proud of our guys. You know, we felt like we really wanted to key in on rebounding, not putting them on the line, and taking care of the ball. Those are the three keys for us coming into the game. And we won those three areas, and we felt like that was a huge part of the win.
Jerem, what else would you add to the formula of how BYU beat VCU?
BYU won this game because the middle eight, they dominated. It was a three-point game. Then the next 8 minutes, BYU exploded and pushed that out to 20. VCU made a run late, but BYU repelled it. They ended up winning. They were incredible. They handled the pressure really well. Yegor Demin got to the rim several times. Dawson Baker was on his horse. BYU got 2 feet in the paint. Paint to great, as they've talked about, and they were able to find open shooters. It wasn't like this unbelievable three-point day, but BYU got enough. 1.25 points per possession was amazing. Gave up 1.1. VCU hadn't given up 80 points to anybody all year. This was a tremendous defense. BYU made them look pedestrian. 12 turnovers was nice. You know, you'd love to have that in the single digits, but against that team, that's an incredible number. Plus
Absolutely.
9 rebounds. You had 16 second chance points. And how about from two, BYU shot 59%. Remember, VCU is number 4 in the country in two-point percentage defense. The Cougars' offense continues to be elite. They're ranked number 10 in that right now. They're playing like a top-5 offense in the country, perhaps the best offense in America right now. It was awesome, man.
It wasn't like BYU had to roll out a new formula, Jerem. BYU just, in the words of their head coach, trusted their habits and their rotation. They did what they do. If a team opts to take away one facet of what BYU does well, in this case, run them off the three-point line a little bit and force them to beat you inside where you feel like you have good two-point field goal percentage defense? Well, BYU showed VCU that BYU is just better at scoring the two than VCU is defending the two. I love the bench points as well. Fus Traore, incredible. Dallin Hall, his numbers were not as eye-popping as they have been, but over the last two games, 15 assists, two turnovers for Dallin Hall. He had four assists, no turnovers, so he was part of taking care of the ball yesterday. But those are just two guys off the bench in a team full of balanced scoring and balanced effort. They trusted their habits, and the habits are, hey, we're going to play 10, 11 guys, and we're going to come at you from so many different angles. There's no clear guaranteed bucket getter for BYU when you go on the floor and you play a game. They have so many different guys, and they relied on that heavily. And how about this? BYU only makes 7 threes in the game. VCU made 15 three-pointers, and it was never in doubt, really.
It didn't
late.
Matter.
It did
they
not matter.
They were resorting to just chucking threes. They made 11 in the second half, Spencer, but it was because they couldn't get anything at the rim, and their bigs got in foul trouble. It was amazing, which brings me to this. Who was the MVP of the game for you?
Well, you and I both know that I felt very strongly about BYU being able to punch early in this game. And yes, while BYU dominated the middle eight, when VCU scored the first 5 points, I wondered, okay, what's BYU going to do here? And it was Yegor Demin. How about the freshman in his first NCAA tournament game scores 15 points and was knocking down threes, Jerem? I mean, it was fantastic to watch him find a rhythm early in this game and punch back. So for me, he gets my MVP nod because he calmed BYU down and helped them get into a rhythm, and then eventually they build a lead before halftime, pull away early in the second half, and end up winning this game by 9. Yegor with 15 points and did a nice job, relatively speaking, taking care of the ball, but his shot making was what was the difference maker for me. He gets my MVP nod. Who are you giving it to?
I would also give it to Yegor. I'll add that in a second, but in Big 12 play, Yegor Demin made 3 threes in one game. It was against Cincinnati. That's it. Like, he showed up in a big way here, knocking down a couple of shots. He talked about after that the coaches have asked him to shoot in rhythm a little more, and I thought he did. He didn't force a lot. Yeah, maybe had a heat check there. When you make a couple, that's okay. I would add the Mali men. Kaba Keita and Fus Traore were awesome. Not just the physical presence inside of Kaba blocking 4 shots, but their ability to rebound, offensive rebound, defend at the rim. BYU was plus 9 because of those guys. They combined for 22 points, 18 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Like, I think of them as one entity, one big man that plays 40 minutes. What do those numbers look like? Those are dominant, and they did a great job. They're going to have a challenge with Steven Grau and Nolan Winters, 2 7-footers for Wisconsin, who aren't overly physical, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I am excited, though, because I think these two continue to hit their stride, and they both nearly had a double-double. Fus off the bench was awesome, 13-9.
Jerem, you knew that VCU was going to try and push BYU around, and they showed that early, getting after Yegor early in the game and forced an early
picking
turnover.
Picking him up at half court on the first possession.
Yes. But in my mind, I thought, how long can they possibly do this
yep.
at 5,280 feet and maintain this pace? And BYU, to their credit, said, okay, let's just straight run. You want to pressure us? We're going to come right back at you. And you could see it wear down VCU relatively early in the game. And at that point, then BYU goes to a zone defense, starts throwing VCU off. Just the changes and the way that BYU adapted throughout the game, it felt like BYU was ready for anything and everything that VCU was going to try. It was almost like BYU was in their playbook. And Kevin Young said, look, we knew that they were going to try and pressure us, but we felt like if we could maintain pace, they would get tired and we would pull away. And voila, you do that along with the 3 keys he touched on, BYU wins relatively comfortably.
2 other notes. BYU got in the bonus at 11-16 in the second half. Like, VCU could not guard without fouling. That was a big signal that BYU was in a great spot. And then in the second half, I think BYU was up 12 or 14. VCU had kind of chipped away a little bit. They did not pressure them at half court or even full court. And I thought, oh, they're tired. Like, BYU's got them on the ropes right now.
Yes.
And BYU repelled their comeback. And despite making 11 threes in the second half, they only made about 10 per game. And then they went off in this game for 15 total. BYU gets the massive dub. On to the second round, baby.
A clear indicator of a team being tired is when you start to commit a lot of fouls, and VCU certainly did that. Okay, with the victory, BYU, as the sixth seed, moves on to take on number three Wisconsin in the round of 32. The Badgers defeated 14 seed Montana 85-66. What has your attention most in tomorrow's second round matchup between Wisconsin out of the Big Ten and BYU out of the Big 12?
First off, this is a battle of they travel well fan bases. I can't wait. Wisconsin, most fans in the gym were Wisconsin. Second was BYU. It's going to be a battle Saturday. I can't wait. Okay, a lot of thoughts, okay? Wisconsin is good, but BYU matches up with them better than VCU. I love this matchup. I think BYU has a favorable situation here. VCU was a tougher matchup, frankly, at what they did against BYU's weaknesses than Wisconsin, okay? Wisconsin's number 13 in the AP poll. BYU's 17. I know Wisconsin's a 3, BYU is a 6. They have very similar metrics, Spence. You look at the fact that BYU's 10th in offensive efficiency, Wisconsin 13th, defensively 24th for Wisconsin. This isn't your mom's or grandma's Wisconsin. They actually push it and score. They used to kind of slow it down. That's not the case. How about John's the beloved? You got Tanjay, 19 a game, physical, tough, shot-making guard. He's gone to the free throw line 238 times, and he shoots 91%. He gets fouls, makes free throws. John Blackwell, the other John, 18 against Montana, averages 15. Keep an eye on those two. 2 7-footers. They aren't big shot blockers, but they can shoot threes and pass well. And Steven Growl and Nolan Winters. They're not overly physical. I think Kibakate is going to be able to have some rebounds here. Foos can get low, get inside, and get some buckets. Wisconsin takes care of the ball, Spence. Fewest turnovers in the Big Ten. 48% of their points come from threes. That's kind of a style that matches BYU's. But what version of Wisconsin will show up? The kind that beat Michigan State, the 2 seed, in the Big Ten semifinals? Or the version that kind of lost to Penn State recently, let Montana hang around a little bit? I'm interested to see how BYU performs, but I feel great about this second-round matchup. That's not been the case all time for BYU. I still feel great about BYU to the Sweet 16. I think BYU pulls off the quote-unquote upset.
I can't wait for Trey Stewart and Mwit Mag and others to take a shot at defending John Tanjay, and he's an All-American for good reason. I mean, he's one of the premier scorers in the country. So, yeah, as John Tanjay, or John's the beloved, as you pointed out, go, typically Wisconsin follows. No question, they're a super efficient offensive team. This is not Bo Ryan, Jerem. These are not the right Bo Ryan teams that are going to muddy it up and, hey, if you could score 54 against this, you might win. It is so far gone from that.
That was Sunday against
Madison
Michigan,
right now,
though.
Yeah, it was, interestingly enough, that we spent all this time, the broadcasters of that game spent all this time talking about how Wisconsin was so good on offense, and then it was just an absolute meat grinder. But Wisconsin, aside from that outlier, they are not what they have been for so long, which is tough, hard-nosed defense, slow it down. They can score the basketball. Can't wait to watch, as I mentioned, Trey and Mwit Mag match up and try and throw them off kilter. What kind of wrinkles Will Voigt's defense has from BYU to get Wisconsin a little off kilter. The other thing I'll add to all of the very poignant numbers that you have brought up is Wisconsin doesn't turn teams over a ton.
Yeah,
they value possession. They take incredible care of the basketball. They're so good, as you pointed out, getting to the free throw line and making. They can draw fouls late in the shot clock. And those things just drive opposing coaches crazy. But they don't turn teams over a lot. So I'll be interested to see what they do defensively to try and make BYU uncomfortable. Because if you can't make BYU uncomfortable, then BYU's poised to go for high 80s, maybe score 90 points. This could be a very high-scoring game. And if BYU can take advantage of some added opportunities of not having to deal with all of that pressure that they've gotten so used to facing with Iowa State and VCU and Houston, then BYU could have a very, very successful evening in against Wisconsin and Denver and put up maybe 90 points.
I really think BYU is getting to 80-plus again. There's not as much resistance from Wisconsin there. I think it's going to be a shootout, and can BYU defend well enough, a la Iowa State twice, right? I think it's that kind of game. Okay, after beating VCU, is it Sweet 16 or bust for BYU now? They're on the fringe of going to the next level.
Oh, I know fans are super excited about this, but no, can we just enjoy the first win in the round of 64? First time in 14 years, can we just relish in it and be okay with that, with BYU finally getting back to the round of 32? I felt so validated yesterday because we were just screaming, this team's different. They're going to win a game. They're going to show you. And they absolutely took that game essentially by the throat and just dominated much of it in the second half. So I'm relishing in the fact that BYU is just in the round of 32. Of course, you and I would love for them to be in the Sweet 16, make a magical run through
it's
this
happening.
Bracket. You think they're going. Like, you just decided. Like, it's going to happen.
I have them lead 8 in my bracket. I believe it.
But I'm going to choose to relish in the round of 32. Just, like, slow down just a little bit because our expectations, we all said, if they could just win a game with a first-year head coach and finish maybe top 7 in the Big 12, they have been overachieving the whole year. This win was momentous and so, so gratifying. So I'm choosing to believe that they've already done it, man. Listen, Jeremy, they cashed out emotionally. Not saying that in a bad way, but they have their winnings emotionally. This is great. They can play loose. They can play free, play confident against Wisconsin tomorrow because, to me, this season has already been a massive, massive success punctuated by yesterday's win.
It's not or bust at all, like you're saying. Let me share some insight from the locker room. I did not get the sense in the locker room that BYU was overly excited about the win. They were stoked, don't get me wrong, but it was not like, oh, we did it, we broke some kind of curse, da-da-da, that some fans have perceived and that we, I think, felt as a fan base. It was, yeah, that was awesome. We're excited to keep going in this tournament. I think BYU's got the right focus and attitude. I think they're dialed in. I think all those cliches apply to BYU. It was not a, oh, we did it. It was not that emotionally. It was, yeah, we won the game we expected to win. We're good. We've beaten good teams like this before. Let's go. Let's keep it going. And I don't think they look at Wisconsin and go, oh, my gosh, this is a massive challenge. I think they think we played teams like them and we've beaten teams like them. They're the next one in our way. And it's going to be a tough game. I'm not saying BYU just, like, runs Wisconsin out of the gym, but I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
BYU has beaten teams like Wisconsin on their home floor.
Yes.
On the road. They've won at Arizona. They've won at Iowa State. This game's not in Madison. It's a neutral site, man.
Ain't no cheese curds here.
Heck no. Let's go. BYU's got all the opportunity and confidence they can hope for as they go into this game. Our question of the day, we just answered it. After beating VCU in the first round of March Madness, is it Sweet 16 or bust for BYU? Fan of Sports on X says, loved
nice
the
name.
Win against VCU. I think BYU has the ability to win a couple of more. But this season has been a success and so fun to watch, just going to cherish every second. Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy
that journey. Yes, at GoCoops Always on X says, yes, it is Sweet 16 or bust. As great as the VCU win was, like Kevin Young said, this team is built for more, a lot more. Whoa.
Absolutely, and they've got stuff to do still. Come on. Okay, talking about Big 12 football pro days. What a day from Jacob Robinson, who ran an unofficial 4.3 40. Not once, but multiple times. Spencer, what did you see from Jacob?
He looks lightning fast. And he told me a couple of days ago when we showed up on day number one as he was watching his teammates that he felt really good. But you hear that often. I said, okay, well, why do you feel good? And he said, well, I put on 13 pounds. I said, okay.
That's a lot for him.
He's up to 180, so he was playing last season right around 168 to 170. He put on 13 pounds, and that's primarily muscle. And that dude has been dedicated to the craft. So we went through his whole diet, his workout, his regime, everything that's been going on. And he says, you know, it's weird. I feel faster even though I'm 13 pounds heavier, and I think that I can show that. And I said, well, where do you think it's going to show up the most? And he said, in the 40. I think everybody will see how fast I am in the 40. And he told me he was going to be fast. I didn't think he was going to be 4.3 fast, but he knew, Jerem. He knew. And it was multiple stopwatches, multiple scouts on both of his runs that clocked him in the 4.3s. I'll be interested to see what the Big 12 releases officially. By the way, I would love to see an official list of numbers somewhere.
Well, the Big 12 has a website where they have some of that, but they don't have the cornerbacks up as of this morning.
No, exactly.
How do we not, like, it's 2025. It, how do we not have an official number right away? I don't understand why this. What?
We're trying
to go to Mars, but we can't get a 40 time?
Yeah, strange deal. So we're relying on stopwatches of these NFL scouts and asking them, but that's fine. Jacob was so good. I said it yesterday. I'm going to double down. I think Jacob Robinson has legitimately pushed his way into consideration to be a late-round draft pick. It was
Amen.
That good. 38.5-inch vertical.
Too proven on film. Yep. He's too athletic. And
yes, his tape is incredible. He's a lockdown guy. His confidence is where it needs to be. Holy cow. And his vert and his speed. He's an NFL cornerback, Jerem.
Absolutely. My one concern yesterday was, will he run a fast enough 40? And he did. That's awesome. You also broke some news last night that Darius Lassiter will not be returning to BYU. There was some thought that he might go for that JUCO exception. He said he's moving on and going to the NFL. In fact, here's what he told you last night.
It's just a long process that I didn't, you know what I'm saying, didn't want to really wait too long, much longer and miss up on this opportunity right here. So it was just either just start focusing on the draft and things like that.
Okay, what's your reaction to this news, Spence? Because it's big news for BYU football.
Naturally, we're all bummed because BYU fans love Darius Lassiter and the leadership and the attitude and the swagger that he brings to BYU's locker room. And he just he plays with an edge and he fears nothing. And so, yeah, it's a loss to not have a guy like that in the locker room. But I totally understand the business decision that he needed to make. And frankly, he just said, I did not want to sit around and wait and hope. And then all of a sudden it's taken away from me. And now I've got to wait a full year more to get back in this NFL push. And so totally understand why he did it. We're going to miss him. We love Darius. He made some incredible plays. In his own right, he's a legend for what he did with the spectacular one-handed catches. And what he did against Oklahoma State, obviously, in that miraculous, dramatic win that BYU had at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. So, it stings because you love that guy. And you thought maybe we'll get him a little bit more. But this makes 100% sense to me why he did what he did.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. Caleb Etienne would have been great to get him back for another year and Darius. But in the end, the point is to have great seasons with very good to great players and have them move on and continue to rep the program. And then you get new guys in. I think BYU's receiving core is loaded. I think it's a loss, but I think there's some guys that are ready to have bigger roles, like Parker Kingston and Cody Hagan, and Tay Nakua is making some plays in spring. So not to mention the other proven guys. So best of luck to Darius. I'm excited to see what he does in the NFL because he is a guy that should be on at least a practice squad, if not a 53.
Yeah, Darius is going to do great things, you would think, in the NFL. That name, it means a lot. The pride that they carry, he's going to have an opportunity somewhere, I would think.
Absolutely. Continue to follow our coverage from both Dallas and Denver with our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel. We're uploading everything we're getting here from both crews. Lots of coverage, the latest and greatest from Pro Day and March Madness on our YouTube channel.
After the break, we'll go back to Denver for more celebratory reaction and hear from the stars of BYU's win over VCU, Yegor Deming, Trevin Nell, and Mawit Mag. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That right there was impressive because we did exactly what we said we were going to do. Your experience shine through with our preparation, and we'll figure out what the recipe for the next game is. All right, let's go. Hey, keep stacking them up. Yeah.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Denver and Dallas. Jerem Jordan, Spencer Linton will join us in the next segment. What a March Madness debut for the freshman, Yegor Deming. Three threes in the game. He was fantastic. Here's my conversation with Yegor after the game.
All right, Yegor, what did this win mean to you and this team?
I mean, it's huge. It's the first win, and in this tournament, every win is important, I guess, because if not, you go home, season is done. We're not ready to end the season that early, so we made sure we gave everything for it.
What did it mean when that first win went through, and then the second one, and then the third one from three?
I mean, I already answered to somebody. It didn't matter as much, just because the game is so fast and every possession is so important. So we gotta take care of the defense. And there's not much time to celebrate made shots. We just gotta make sure we're coming back to guard the ball and not let them score which, as I said, like every point can lead to the lose, and every point can win to the win. So it's just so important.
There's a lot of pressure on you guys to handle the ball effectively. How did you overcome that pressure?
Yeah, I mean, this team is super athletic. It was super hard, to be honest, to just handle the ball and, you know, trying to organize the team at the same time. But, I mean, this is something that we were dealing in Big 12 so many times, and playing against Arizona, playing against Kansas, playing against anybody, Baylor. Iowa State was probably the biggest impact on our offense in case of physicality. Obviously Houston, and yeah, I mean, we've been working on that the whole season, and that's probably the main thing. You cannot score the ball if you didn't bring it up, so that's something we focus on a lot. Talking about myself and other guards who's dealing with it.
Were you surprised you were able to get all the way to the cup a couple of times?
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball. You know, everybody have game plan on the opposite team, and sometimes we're preparing something against that, expecting them to plan something against our place, right? So that's why I feel like our team is never like a robots. People can find a way how to score, even if the team closed one door, we can find the window. I would say that.
How was your first March Madness experience?
It's amazing. I mean, I was super excited before the game, coming to the warm-ups, and I just had butterflies in my stomach, and it was such a good anxiety, and, you know, although I was nervous. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really important that I could really deal with that, and once I stepped on the court and once the ball went up, nothing mattered out of that. Now it's everything matter, which is inside of the base and sidelines.
What kind of energy did you get from the BYU crowd here?
It was amazing. It was feeling like a Mary Center. The court is not as good as Mary Center, but we're missing the rock, obviously, but it was still feeling like we're playing at home.
What will it take to win a second round game? I know you'll dig in later on Wisconsin, but another challenge, another good team. You guys have beat a bunch this year.
Yeah, I mean, anybody on this tournament is a challenge, and this is how we're going to face it. We're going to make sure we're giving our best efforts to win the game, and going to fight for the one who's on your right and on your left as a team.
How many friends, family were up in Russia watching this one?
Probably, it's hard to tell. It's so many people in Russia, but hopefully a lot. I just know that my family definitely watched it. That's for sure.
Congrats, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Meanwhile, Trevin Nell was 0-for-8 previously in a couple of NCAA tournament opportunities. He saw not one but two go down. Here's my conversation with the senior sharpshooter. All right, Trevin, what did it feel like to have that first three go down? Because I know that was significant for a million reasons for you.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, I got my layup and I was like, okay, the ball, like, I've already seen the ball go through. Jaeger found me a couple times on some screening actions that I felt like the ball was going to go through. It just, you know, rattled in and out. But coach put me in and I knew, you know, I trust the process, trust everything. Down found me in the corner and I was happy to win in. But again, it goes back to like all of our hard work for every single guy down the line. Going into this one, my mindset was, you know, thank God for everything that we've been, you know, through. You know, I've been through up and down. So thank him and then go out there and have fun. And I feel like that really showed tonight.
You felt the opposite of this feeling. What does this feel like now, finally?
It's awesome. I freaking love it. I'm just super proud of my teammates. Like, it's a lot of firsts for a lot of guys in here. You know, we've been through a lot, you know, postseason stuff. With me, I've been, this is my third time, so it's awesome to be able to, you know, finally get a win. But again, Dallin, I feel like, said it perfectly in our huddle. He said a lot of people wrote us off, but we don't write back. And so shout out to, you know, Tanner Hayes for that quote. But it's awesome to be able to, you know, be that kind of underdog in some similar ways and, you know, have that edge going into this next game.
I think it was Geno Smith that may have said that with the Seahawks, right?
I guess that's Tanner Hayes' favorite player. Because
now he's a Raider. Whatever.
Exactly.
Getting this win today against that team, they hadn't given up 80 in a game all year. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do to continue to be that efficient offense?
Yeah, it just goes back to our brand of basketball. Like we said before, they kind of play a similar style to West Virginia, Cincinnati, and they try to, you know, slow us down, speed us up. protect so we don't get any threes off. I think a lot of teams are a little nervous about our three-point shooting ability. So we're trying to emphasize getting to the rim, emphasize, you know, offensive rebounding. And shout-out to Fu, shout-out to Kaba. Those guys are dogs. They're a handful to deal with. And Kaba is shooting great free throws down the stretch. It was awesome to be able to see those go in. But, again, I think everybody's super excited, and I think we're playing great basketball going into this next game.
At the under four mark, you guys were up three, and then 8 minutes later you're up 20. What did you guys do in that sequence to get that lead?
Yeah, we try to push the ball. We try to push the pace. You know, elevation's on our side, and Cougar Nation's on our side. We have the fans in this stadium, and when I hit my second three, I looked around, and the whole crowd's going crazy. I think it was a surreal moment. But, again, we're just, you know, happy for each other. Like, everybody's excited. There's no agenda, and we're just, you know, the bench energy's great. The court's energy's great. And so I feel like that helped us, you know, secure this win.
They kind of chipped away and made it interesting. So how did you guys kind of rappel that late?
Yeah, it just goes back to, you know, we got to get back to the small details. I feel like sometimes when you have a lead like that, you kind of relax, and we just got to make sure to, you know, keep the foot on the gas pedal. And then, you know, again, you know, there's, you saw McNeese and Clemson, they chipped away at their lead pretty quick, and that's exactly what VCU did to us. So we're the things that we got to learn, things that we got to grow a little bit going into this next game, but I'm excited.
Were you looking at the big board? How'd you know that already?
Jared's already talked to me. He's let me know everything I missed. So I was like, was it cool? But I'm excited to watch the rest of the games tonight and then get ready for our matchup on Saturday. But again, this is huge for us. It's huge for a lot of guys in here, and I feel like it's huge for Cougar Nation.
Typically, this kind of win would mean, all right, you're going to be the underdog. You're not supposed to win the next game. Yet you guys have defeated teams like Wisconsin in terms of where they're at nationally. What will it take to win in the second round?
Again, just, you know, playing our brand of basketball, simple plays. I feel like sometimes in this game we got a little too excited, but if we can just hit singles, I think that's going to really help us against Wisconsin. They're a really well-coached team. They move the ball really well. They take great shots. So I think we got to be able to defend for all 30 seconds, and then I feel like it's just come down to the tougher team. So I feel like that's our confidence. I feel like has really helped us to, you know, have that chip on our shoulder. And, you know, it's fun to be able to be the underdog going to this one because, you know, we're going to play our brand of basketball, and we're going to have that chip going into this game.
Congrats on the win, man.
Appreciate you. Let's go.
Then there's senior guard, the transfer from Rutgers, Mawit Magg, who's become tremendous defensively and a three-point sniper since entering the starting lineup 18 games ago. He's actually played against Wisconsin three times previously in the Big Ten with Rutgers. In fact, in his last game last February, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in a 22-point win for Rutgers. He's beaten the Badgers already. Here's Mawit on his role this year, what it took to beat VCU. And
all right, Mawit, you were hounding the VCU guards. What kind of energy and effort did it take to play that game and hold them down?
It took a lot, you know, but I feel like I just wanted to come in and have an impact in the game, you know, just do whatever it takes to help my team win. So I feel like just doing that, I think it will help my team a lot. So just going out there and just make it difficult. That's tremendous players, VCU, you know, they won the A-10. They got the A-10 Player of the Year, so I just have my attendance up and just play with some urgency.
What does this win mean to this team and obviously this program? This is your first year, but this is a big deal for BYU.
Now, it definitely means a lot. You know, it's a big win, but I told the guys, you know, you got to have a short memory. You got to embrace it, but we got to move on, you know, because we have a lot of winning to do. I feel like we have whatever it takes to win in this locker room and in players and coaches' staff. So I feel like we're going to make a deep run and win it all. So I feel like we got to have a short memory and just got to move on and get ready for Wisconsin on Saturday.
You guys went plus 17 in the middle eight. How'd you do that?
Just playing together and just trusting our work. You know, coach spoke to us in halftime, and you know, he just told us to, you know, just trust our work and let the rest take care of itself, and don't worry about the next play, and just be you out there. So I feel like we went out there, we had played with swagger, and we had some fun too. So it made it fun. So
the Molly boys were incredible, nearly a double double for both of them. What did you see from them?
Man, from all year long, I've been seeing that. You know, Foose and Cable. No, sometimes they don't show in the stat sheet, but what they do a lot, they're clapping, rebounding, setting screens, hedging, they do a lot for us, you know. So to have them two, the Molly boys, and play out today, how they play today, it's from my one. I'm happy for them, and hopefully there's many more for them to show out, you know, what they're capable of and everything.
And Yegor had the shot going from three. That was important.
Hell yeah. Now Yegor, you know, 6'9" point guy that can see everything. So, you know, it's having me, just, you know, just to see him play with confidence and everything. And, you know, he has more to show too, but I feel like, we have it going right now and everything. I keep stacking days and everything. So,
talked about trying to make a run in this tournament. And you guys will dig into the specifics of Wisconsin, but what will it take to continue going here?
just be ourselves, you know, and just trust the work we do and just play our brand of basketball. Get a stop and just run. I feel like we're a great team that in transition, and I feel like it's very hard for us to stop with the shooting and spacing we have. So whenever we get a stop and run, it's going to be hard for teams to stop. And I feel like we started playing very well towards the end of the season and even the postseason too. So I feel like we got to keep stacking days and just keep doubling down on what we believe on and keep doing what we're doing.
Hey, way to use the stacking days thing from Kevin Young. That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah, literally, keep stacking days. And I like that term too because it literally is true. You know, it can't be too high, it can't be too low. You just got to be leveled, you know. So for like once you be too high, sometimes you slip up and everything. So you just be too leveled and just keep stacking days and everything else is going to take care of itself. Be
consistent. How would you summarize your journey? Because there was a minute where you weren't playing a lot, the shot wasn't going down. Since you've been in the starting lineup, you're a 41% three-point shooter. You've been awesome on defense. What was it like? How hard was it to not do that and then get to this point?
It was definitely hard. It was definitely a roller coaster. You know, not playing at first was eating me alive, but I just wanted to be a good teammate. Didn't want to be a cancer. But I feel like I just keep trusting my work. Even though I wasn't playing, I was still in the gym working hard and being a good teammate and keep doing what I got to do, and I didn't really slip up. It's very hard, but, you know, a true testament of, you know, hard work really do pay off. So, you know, me getting my opportunity towards the middle of the season and helping the team win and have an impact, it means a lot for me, you know. And I just credit to my hard work and also the coaching staff and my teammates for helping me prevail through it all.
What kind of boost did you get from the BYU heavy crowd?
A lot. You know, shout out to Cougar Nation. You know, the loyal fans always pop out, and we definitely felt the energy, especially in the second half when we went on a run. So shout out to Cougar Nation, and, you know, they mean a lot. And literally in the Marriott Center, too, literally every game is packed out, so they always show love. So without them, it wouldn't be the same. So shout out to Cougar Nation.
What kind of love do you think you had watching March Madness from either Senegal, Australia, the States, all over the world, man?
A lot of love, you know. I feel like a lot of people are tuning in now compared to the beginning of the season, but a lot of love. And I feel like everybody's, it's going to be even way more. As deep as we go, it's going to keep getting deeper and deeper. So shout out to everybody watching out. We love them, and, yeah, keep tuning in.
Congrats on the win.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a good one. Thank you.
We have more post-game reaction on our YouTube channel, BYU Sports Nation, with Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall, Kaba Keita, and others. You can check it out for more post-game coverage in Denver. After the break, we'll preview a busy weekend across Cougar sports. Don't go anywhere. This is BYU Sports Nation from Denver and Dallas.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation, I am Spencer Linton live from Frisco, Texas. He is Jerem Jordan live in Denver, Colorado. Let's get to today's headlines.
Six-seed men's basketball defeats VCU for a first-round win, first for the Cougars since 2011. They do it 80-71. BYU matches up with a three-seed Wisconsin in the round of 32 tomorrow. Game at 7:45 Eastern on CBS.
BYU football's Gary Bohannon, Darius Lassiter, Jacob Robinson, Mark Collins, Keanu Hill, Ray Paulo, and Mason Fakahua participated in day two of Big 12 Pro Day at the Star. You'll hear my one-on-one conversations with Darius and Jacob in the next segment.
Softball won at Houston 9-0 last night. Picked up the second Big 12 win of the season. Up next, BYU goes for the series win tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU baseball hits the road for their first Big 12 road series of the season at Cincinnati. Game one of the set today, 2 Eastern on ESPN+, live on BYU Radio as well.
Number 6 men's volleyball on the road for two games against Grand Canyon, number 14 in the country, BYU number 6. Cougars taking on Trent Mosier, who used to play for BYU, 9 Eastern on Big 10+.
Mackenzie Miller-Lung of BYU Swim and Dive broke her own school record in the 200 individual medley, but came up short of qualifying out of the trials at the NCAA Swim and Dive Championships.
Wild to break school record but not advance. She's awesome, by the way. She's great. Diljit Taylor was named the Mountain Region Indoor Track and Field Assistant Coach of the Year. Lexi Halliday-Lowry named Mountain Region Indoor Track Athlete of the Year. Men and Women's Track and Field open the outdoor season this weekend at the Willie Williams Classic in Tucson, Arizona.
Nice. BYU women's tennis earns a win over Cincinnati 4-2 yesterday. They're back in action tomorrow at West Virginia, and men's tennis on the road this weekend at UCF as they look for their first Big 12 victory of the season. After the break, more football. Darius Lassiter adds to his future as a pro football player and why he decided to hang it up at BYU, plus Jacob Robinson on his incredible performance. Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Frisco, Texas. I'm Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan will join us from Denver in just a moment again. Let's get to football now and my interview with Darius Lassiter on why he decided to not pursue an additional year at BYU and focus on his pro career. Here's Darius Lassiter. Darius, congratulations on getting through the stress and the emotions of Pro Day. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of what just happened in the drills and whatnot, so many BYU fans want to know, does you competing at Pro Day mean that your time and career are officially over at BYU?
Yeah, most likely, yeah.
How have you been able to process through that? And what did you find out as you were looking at potentially playing another year in Provo?
Not nothing that I really found out. It was just a long process that I didn't, you know what I'm saying, didn't want to really wait too long, much longer and miss up on this opportunity right here. So it was just either just start focusing on the draft and things like that.
I know that BYU fans will be super excited for you, but if we're being real, hearts are breaking, Darius, because you've been such a special player at BYU. So how do you sum up your career in Provo and everything you experienced there?
Just a blessing. I just had an opportunity to go out there and be able to compete in front of all those fans. That was just the biggest thing for me. You know, when you go out there and you just see everybody out there just excited and cheering for you, it's just the best feeling in the world.
Now you turn the page to an NFL dream. And as far as your performance goes today, how would you grade what you did on the field?
I feel like my standards, I hold myself to such high standards. So I'll probably say B+. I know there's a lot of things that I can clean up on because when you come out here, nobody's perfect. So, but that's what I strive to be each and every time I come out.
Why do you feel like there's a spot for you in the NFL?
Just my ability as a football player. I feel like there's nothing that I can't do, no route tree that I can't run, no assignment that I can't get done. I'm in the run game and in the pass game, and it's just me as a person, my high character, my leadership. I know that that's going to be something important to the organization.
How was the interview process with the different scouts and personnel that you met with this week?
It was good. Just having a chance to actually just sit down face to face. A lot of times during the whole process, you talked with them over the phone and things like that. So just to have them sit down with you face to face and just talk ball. And some of them just wanted to ask you little goofy questions just to get you out of your element. So it's good also to have those too, just to make sure that the interview is just not stressful. It's some fun in it too.
Yeah, I've heard that is the case in some of those interviews. So what were some of those interesting questions that you were asked?
Last night I was asked, if I had to be any animal besides a lion, what would I be? And I told him an alligator. So he was actually caught off guard by that because nobody's ever said that. So I kind of just had to, you know what I'm saying, go on the fly with it and give him a breakdown why I said that.
I love it. Lassiter or the alligator. We can roll with that. What do you feel like you're doing best right now as a football player that could be an immediate impact in the league?
I just think preparing for the next step in life. I feel like a lot of your work is going to come through how you prepare for things. So if I prepare the right way, then I'm gonna be ready for it no matter what.
What kind of feedback and critique are you getting in terms of where you need to improve?
You always can be a crispier route runner. Always can create more separation. You always can, you know what I'm saying, get out breaks better. So just a little things, like everything's not perfect. So, but they know that that's my mindset each and every time I line up is to be perfect. So that's just, they give me little things that I can work on.
What do you expect from BYU football moving forward now that your career in Provo is officially over, as you look back on the guys that you leave behind and hope that they do great things?
Yeah, conference championship and a natty on the way.
You say like it's no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we know how close we were last year, so they still got the pieces, and they just got more. So I know they got enough firepower to get it done.
How will you remember last season and an 11-win campaign at that?
Just, you know, it was a lot of doubt on us during the year, but we overcame that. We knew what we had from the beginning. We always said, like, they don't know, but they're about to find out. So and they did each and every game that we went out there.
What's the next month like for you as you prepare for the draft?
Just staying in shape, making sure my body's right and things like that, and then just continuing up with scouts, whether I got private workouts or things that they might want me to do.
Finally, what's your message to BYU fans who are certainly going to miss you in Provo?
It's not a goodbye, it's just a see you later. You know, I'm going to be around, so whenever I do come around, just make sure you say what's up.
Darius, great stuff, man. Congratulations on your Pro Day experience.
Thank you.
He'll be missed, no doubt about it. Jacob Robinson will also be missed by the BYU defense. He stole the show in Frisco yesterday. Here's my conversation with Jacob.
Jacob, you told me the other day, preparing for this event, you felt fast. Well, you had an opportunity to go out and show it. Mm-hmm. Did you feel fast today when it mattered most?
I felt pretty fast today, yeah.
Where did you shine the most in all of the events today and the drills?
I would for sure say my 40. That felt the best. My vertical was pretty good, I think. So I think those two for sure.
What did you score on the vert, and what are you hearing you did in the 40?
On the vert, I jumped a 38.5, so that felt pretty good. And then I ran, I think, a 4.3, hopefully. So
you feel like you hit the 4.3s.
I hope.
Okay. Yeah. What were your times on average leading up in the 40 to today's event?
It was a 4.3. Yeah, shout out to Les. He was my trainer in Cali, and, yeah, he tested perfect, and I think he prepared me for this moment. So,
what do you feel like you accomplished today in terms of getting noticed by NFL scouts?
Just showing them that I can run, I can do DB drills, I can play football, honestly, and I gained a lot of weight over this offseason, so that helped us a lot, too. So,
I was just going to bring that up. You told me you added 13 pounds, and this is mostly muscle. Doesn't always turn out where you still feel as fast when you put on that weight, so how were you able to do that?
I think just eating the right things, working out every day. I was going to LA Fitness out in Cali and trying to get another workout just so I can put on extra muscle. And, yeah, they were just feeding us really good food out there and everything. So,
what kind of commitment did you have to go through over the last 2 months to be ready for today?
Yeah, I mean, I was grinding with our nutritionist, Kira, a lot every day. She'd be texting me and just making sure I'm eating all the time during workouts, after workouts. So that was definitely hard. But, yeah, it's been an honor. So,
what's the go-to when you're eating the right way? Like, what was your staple?
So, I mean, my favorite cheat meal, I'll say my favorite cheat meal is In-N-Out. I'm not usually a big fan of it, but in Cali it hits different. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Good to know. Okay, the cheat meal.
I love pasta, chicken Alfredo for sure. So,
what are you eating now that this is over?
Oof, a lot of cheat meals just for probably a week and a half, and then I'll try to get back into it. So,
how are the conversations with the scouts and the different NFL teams around this event?
Yeah, they've been good. They love that I gained weight. I told them I was going to run a 4.3, so hopefully that's what I ran. But they just really wanted to see me move around, and I feel like I proved that today. So,
if you had an NFL defensive back that you try and pattern yourself after that you look up to, who would it be?
Probably Denzel Ward. Yeah, I like him a lot. He's a great player, has a knack for the ball, fast, can break, so yeah, and tackle. So,
okay, I can see why that's a comparable and someone that you would try and go after. What do you feel like you need to do that you haven't already done to make yourself an easy selection for a team when it comes to the draft?
I mean, just keep putting on good weight. Keep hopping on the field with my trainer back home, Rob Daniels. So just hop on the field with him and doing my DB work. So,
Shout out to Rob Daniel. Okay, what did he do for you to help you get ready for this event?
Honestly, other than Coach Abu, he was my high school DB coach. I started training with Rob once I got into college, and I mean, he's taught me DB since I know. So I think he's just taught me a lot about the game, the mental part of it, and a lot about my body. So,
how are your emotions now that this pro day is over?
I'm happy. Get to go home, hang out with my nieces and nephews, my family, so I'll be excited, yeah.
And the cheat meals, of course.
And cheat meals, yes.
Jacob, congratulations. Can't wait to watch what happens in the draft, and we appreciate the time.
Thank you.
His smile says it all. What a performance. We'll wrap up today's show with a rise and shout out that all of Cougar Nation is going to want to hear. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation from the Star in Frisco, Texas at Big 12 Pro Day. Jerem Jordan is a ballerina in Denver, Colorado at the NCAA tournament. Our question of the day, after BYU men's basketball beat VCU in the first round, we're simply asking, is it Sweet 16 or bust for BYU? In response, our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. And the entry is from @onthebrink365, who answers on X. Quote, no, but let's go to the Sweet 16 anyway. End quote.
That's exactly the energy we have. Yeah. Amen. That's what I felt in the locker room, too. Let's go.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Goes to Cougar Nation for showing up here. Earlier in the show, I said Wisconsin had more fans. I take it back. BYU had way more. I think it was Ryan Vihar on X called me out. Ryan, you're right. There were way more BYU fans. And they should pack this gym tomorrow, and I think they will. It's going to be awesome. Spence, can't wait to see you up here as well as you fly out of Frisco after your duties there. And you come hang out with me here.
Let's go. I might have to buy a coat from what I understand, Jerem. So I'll get on that. Our thanks to today's guests, and there were a bunch. Yegor Deming, Trevin Nell, Mawit Mag of BYU Basketball, and Darius Lassiter and Jacob Robinson of BYU Football.
Sorry to Dennis, ran out of time. Just use that Delta money from that bag. You got a nice chunk of change there.
That's exactly right. For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to our good friend Michael Smith. We'll see you at the game. Go Cougs!